Welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. This is your host, Ishai Breslauer. Here we meet every Monday to talk commercial real estate and prop tech. We will dive deep into the different asset classes, discuss the market, talk about the new and exciting technologies, meet key people in the industry, and get some inspiration. Let's begin. Hey guys, how are you? This is Ishai Breslauer, your host of the CRE Shark Eye Show. I hope you guys are doing very well today. We have a guest, a returning guest. Brian Hennessy is one of the, I would say, top mentors for commercial real estate. We had him in the other show, and I urge you to go back to the other show. And I'm going to put the links all over so you can listen to the other show about commercial real estate and about his experiences, what he thinks about markets, what he thinks about what people should do in commercial real estate. But today it's a bit of a different pace. What we wanted to do today was talk a little bit about his new book. First of all, Brian, thank you so much for being with us.
Ishai, thank you so much for having me on. I enjoyed our last visit and look forward to doing this one with you as well.
It was great. I really enjoyed it. And then amount of information we had was really incredible. What we're going to do is, and I really would appreciate, because I have bought your book on audio and I've listened to your book, and you guys are probably listening to say, what book? And I'm we're going to talk about it in a second. Not only that, we're going to talk about it, but we're going to leave all the links so you guys can actually go and buy it. And for some of you, it could be a game changer and change your lives. I'm sure it will. Brian, tell us a little bit about, we did it in the last show, but just, a brief 2-minute sort of elevator pitch about what you do, and then we'll move to the book.
Okay. Well, I am a 37-year veteran of the commercial real estate industry. And I've been fortunate enough to be involved with different aspects of the industry that gave me a real rounded perspective of it. And at one point, I decided to create a manual for myself, reference manual, of which I ended up utilizing to actually as a marketing tool, never thinking it would sell one copy, and it ended up being a bestseller on Amazon. So that's how my writing career started. And I've written 4 books, and then 3 of them are in commercial real estate. And the last one, which we're going to be talking about, is something that I've been wanting to write for a while. And during the pandemic is when I had the time to actually focus in and do it. And that's when I decided to devote my energies to getting it completed. And so that's why we're here today. And,
beautiful. Beautiful. I just wanted to, for everybody who's listening, if you guys want to listen to the entire story of, where Brian came from, and his background, which I usually do on shows, you guys go again and listen to the other show that we had about the commercial real estate. We actually dug into his history and his experiences. But today, it's all about the book. Brian, what's the name of the book? I think the name of the book is what basically tells everybody what it is.
Yes, I think it's true. Too Old to Hire, Too Young to Retire.
I love it. Too Old to Hire, Too Young to Retire. And it talks to so many people, and my career personally reflects it. So you already said that you wanted for a very long time, you wanted to write that book. First of all, why did you want to write that book for a very long time? What was the reason for that?
Well, that's a really good question. What happened, the way it came about is I was in a seminar in 2015. And in the seminar leader said, there's probably many of you in the category of too old to hire and too young to retire. And what happened was, it was like strange thing happened to me. I actually felt like I got hit by a lightning bolt when it just, I was like, wow. I don't know why this came up, but I said to myself, I have to write a book about that. And I know exactly what I wanted to say. And then I forgot about it. I figured out, okay, fine, you know, whatever. I put it on the side and it just kept coming back and haunting me. And finally I decided, okay, maybe if I did write a book like that, let me write the outline for it, which I did. And one of the reasons that came to me that way is because I've been a lifelong learner. I've always believed that, you know, the greatest investment that you can make is in yourself, with lessons and books and everything, right? Everything that you can do to help improve yourself
on a
daily basis can only help you, right? So I put it off for a while. And then about 2018, I decided to start baby steps in it. And I wrote the introduction and I wrote the outline out. And then the other thing was I wanted to finish up my third book on the commercial real estate called The Residential Agent's Handbook for Commercial Real Estate. Because I was about 2/3 of the way through that. And I thought, you know what, just finish that one and then you could start working on the other one. So what I did in 2019, I finished that, got busy. And then when the pandemic hit is when I said, okay, now you have the time to write Too Old to Hire, Too Young to Retire, which I did. And I focused on a daily basis almost. And
you know what? I'm sorry, I'm stopping you, but it's such an amazing thing because the pandemic pushed so many people that do all kinds of things within any business to do different things. Like, for example, with me, I started a podcast. I recorded courses. I did all kinds of things that I've never done. And for you, you've been so deeply, I would say you were sunk in this commercial real estate business with love, obviously, all of a sudden the pandemic brought it to a point where you said to yourself, hey, I'm going to write this book now. Tell me something. Let's talk a little bit about what this book is about.
Okay.
I think it's so precious. The information there is just priceless.
Well, first of all, one of the things, which is kind of interesting because my son read it and he said, Dad, I don't know why you titled the book that way, because it really could help, you know, anybody.
That's true.
And I said, you know why? Because I really believe that my generation, which is the boomer generation, is going to be the generation that is going to be hardest hit when economic setbacks are going to happen. It's already happening now, right? Retirement in the U.S., if they say something like 10,000 people a month turn 65, obviously the Gen Xers are even starting to feel the pinch from being too old to hire. And they're starting to say, hey, now what do I do? And, you know, and the other lament that I've heard.
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah.
That's me. I'm there.
Yeah. And also the people that I've spoken with that have lost their jobs, especially in the 2009 recession, said, I can't find any work. I guess I'm just, you know, unable to do this anymore. And I guess, I don't know, I'm gonna have to figure out how to live on my Social Security. I said, wait a minute. Whoa, time out. You're looking at this from the wrong set of glasses here. Okay. You really need to take a step back and have a paradigm shift here, because you have a ton of experience in what you've been doing and you should be able to share that. And there's never been a better opportunity than now to do that. And then once people hear you explain how that works and some of the ideas that you need to adopt in order to move that forward, then it starts becoming easier. The path becomes clearer and they're able to take their foot off the brake and start moving. And I think that was really one of the things I really wanted to express in the book. The book, I should explain, is a series of mini chapters of different tips, strategies, and techniques that I've learned over the years in the classes and the courses and the videos and the books and the audiobooks and webinars I've attended that I found to be very helpful in my journey. And at the end of each mini chapter, if it resonates with you, I give you action items to take so that you can start implementing them right away. And then also, I wanted to take a more rounded approach to it because what happens is, and I think this is true of, I don't care what generation we're in now, just our the world at large right now wants to press the easy button and just give me the hacks to it. You know, I'll figure out the rest later. It'd be nice if the world really worked that way. It doesn't, though. You have to pay your dues with certain things. I'm not saying that there aren't some shortcuts to certain things that you can learn, but for the most part, you've got to pay your dues. That's just the way it is. And the other thing I wanted to stress in it is there's no such thing as success without failure, okay? The two are interrelated. It's only failure if you don't get yourself back up and start trying again, okay? Everything's a lesson. It's a school we're in here. And that's one of the things I wanted to really emphasize in the book, because a lot of people get in their own way. They listen to the mind chatter. Oh, I'm too old. Oh, I don't have enough education. Oh, my background wouldn't allow me to do that. Nonsense. Okay. That's self-imposed limitations that you're putting upon yourself. Okay. You need to learn to shut that mind chatter off and allow yourself to move forward and start proving to yourself that, hey, I can do this through micro wins. Okay. And you just build on it. And I will tell you, if you do that, along with some other things that we'll talk about, there's no way that you're not going to succeed.
You know what? It's really an incredible aspect. And you spoke about it in the book. And I would separate it to two things that you actually approach in the book. One is the more, I would say, psyche, thing, the psychological aspect of it, which we just have mentioned, which I believe is the most important thing, because without that, nobody moves anywhere. But then there are the strategies of what exactly can you do at an older age. It could, like you said, your son said, it could also apply to a younger person, but definitely an older person. The younger person has, I would say, more, meaning he's that type of person, he or she, they're open to opportunities. They're still believing in themselves in a way that they know that they're going to get a job. They still get people to come and interview them a lot more because what can you say? Employers like young people. That's the way the world works. I don't know if it's good or not, but that's the way it is. So what are your suggestions in terms of strategies? And you've mentioned many in the book. If you could share with us a few for the older generation. I consider myself also in that group, meaning the Gen X's and above, of course, the boomers, obviously. Sure. What can they do in order to get themselves back in the game, whether it's a job or some other thing that they would do, which you have suggested?
Okay. Well, let's start out with the fundamentals. And the fundamentals are you have to get the right mindset, okay? Because if you're walking around thinking of all the reasons why you're not getting a job or can't find one or all the problems of the world, you want to watch the news and get bombarded with all the negative information, then you're making it very difficult for yourself in order to move forward. Let's just talk about some simple metaphysical laws that are into effect, okay? The world is energy, right? We're a mass of swirling atoms. Now, people say, what are you talking about? Yes, they've proven that many, many years ago, okay? Einstein talked about it, all right? He said we're a mass of swirling atoms, right?
That's right.
So what does that mean? It's all energy, right? So let me put it to you this way. If we're all energy and you're tuning your energy towards negative thoughts, and that, which is thoughts are energy too, right? Everything begins with thought, right? So if you're tuning into a negative, guess what? You're going to attract that into your life, right? Your brain is a marvelous computer. If you ask it a question, it will answer the question, right? Why am I always having such a hard time? Why am I unable to find a job? Why? It's going to give you those answers. When all you really need is one reason to keep going, one good reason, right? And so what I tell people is, look, first of all, start changing your thoughts. Yes, positive thinking does work. But the other part of that equation is positive action, the law of action. You have to be taking action in order to make those things happen, right? And you'll hear me say this throughout that book and whenever I talk to people. Whatever your faith is, your belief in God, your faith in God, okay, whether it's the infinite intelligence or whatever you want to call God, right? There's only one God, okay? So if you strengthen your faith muscles and your courage muscles and you do your part and rely on God to do his, miraculous things can happen, okay? And they do. And I always tell people, hey, have you ever starved to death, or, you know, starved near to death? Maybe some people have, but the vast majority haven't. You've pretty much been taken care of all your life. How do you think, who do you think's doing that? It wasn't your parents. It's God working through your parents, but it's the infinite intelligence. It's God, okay? He's always taken care of you. It always says that through all the great saints and sages have said that, right? So start working with that infinite law. That universal law is what I call it in the book, right? It works like gravity. Does you don't if you don't believe in gravity, it's still gonna work, right? You jump off that building, guess what? You're gonna go splat every time, whether you believe in it or not, right? So why not start putting that to work for yourself, and then start implementing these thoughts and suggestions and tips and strategies, and prove to yourself that it works. I tell people, look, once you prove it to yourself, you may want to believe, you may think you believe, but until you prove it to yourself, it's just blind faith, right?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. It all starts from the mind. It starts from the way you talk to yourself. It starts the way, it also continues to, meaning the way you talk to your spouse, to others, to anyone, and that will actually come back to you and will influence you. In the book, you actually started talking about certain ideas for people who can't find the job, who are not able to find the job. And we're going to touch that. But let's go for a second for those who can find the job. What would be an important suggestion for a person who is, let's say, hypothetically, a 55-year-old person who had a pretty good career, okay, but he's not hired? And he was an employee. He was not an entrepreneur, but he was entrepreneurial for years. For other people, for big companies, for big corporations, and he can't get back into the swing. And he is down now. He's sitting at home. So he took your suggestion. He's working on his psyche. And now he wants to take action and go forward. And he gets a lot of rejections. What would be his move?
Well, first of all, that's a great question too. What I tell people is, look, first of all, I want you to take inventory of yourself, of all your talents, of all the things that you know how to do well, of all the things that you think you're good at and differentiate you from others, right? And if you're having a problem, find a good friend or a relative that will be honest with you and tell you, right? And once you get that list down, then pick the top five that resonate with you, right? And say, how can I monetize those? If I'm good at explaining or teaching this or negotiating that, or you have a hobby that you're really good at and you could teach that to other people. I mean, there's a lot of different things that will start coming to mind, but what'll happen is, I talk about an exercise that I love to do when I'm brainstorming, right? And it's take a piece of paper or do it on your computer. I happen to believe strongly in writing, handwriting, because it's a neural connection to the brain, right? And they've proven that you remember things more if you write them down versus type them into your phone or whatever, right?
Right.
So write down, right at the top of the things, at the top of the piece of paper, what are the top 20 things I can do to start generating income in the next 30, 60, 90 days, whatever you want to put down. I happen to like 90 days, because 90 days, it's easy for us to get our brains around, right? So you take that and you just give yourself 1 hour. Try to be by yourself. If you're in your own environment, if you can get out of your environment, it's even better, because distractions in your environment make it difficult to stay focused. The dog barks, the baby cries, whatever it is, you know, phone rings or whatever it is. But if you're outside, you're on a beach, you're at a park or whatever, you can write it down. Give yourself an hour. Don't stop until you got at least 20 things, ideas on there. Don't prejudice any of the ideas. It's just a brainstorming session. As crazy it may seem, write it down, right? You're just capturing thoughts as they come into your consciousness and putting them down on a piece of paper, okay? Now, the first 6 or 8 or 10 may come fairly easy. The next 3 or 4 or 5, pretty hard, right? You have to struggle.
Right.
Then the last 5 is like, oh my gosh, it's like pulling teeth. Right?
Yes, it is.
But sometimes those last few ideas are the gems, right? So, and then when you've got at least 20 down, now look at your list and pick the top three that resonate with you the most, and take one of them and take action on it immediately. Why? Because unless you take action, unless and until you do something, right? Nothing's going to happen. You can have the greatest ideas in the world, but if you don't take action on them, and you don't, here's the other thing. Don't worry about what that action is, right? Maybe that you take that idea that you picked out and you write 3 or 4 things that you can do to start up that business right away. Oh, I want to start a podcast. Oh, I want to start a course. Oh, I want to, you know, whatever. I want to write a book. I want to do, you know, all these things. You know, the problem is a lot of people will start thinking of all the reasons why they can't do something, right? Now, who's going to want to do that? Let me tell you a little story, okay? When somebody read my manual for the first time and said, wow, there's a lot of helpful ideas here. You ought to share these. I said, nobody's going to want to read them. You know how many books there are on commercial real estate? Nobody's going to want to read this stuff, right? Well, after I heard about the fifth or sixth person that told me that, you know, you should share these ideas. These are really helpful. I started thinking about it, started letting it germinate, right? That's how it kind of started the whole thing. And then, of course, I still had a million reasons why I shouldn't do it, right? What if people don't like it? What if they, you know, who cares? People aren't even thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves.
Exactly.
Right? Don't worry about it. Then I read an article. It was in, I think it was in Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Workweek thing. But he talked about an article by Kevin Kelly, I think it was, who was a senior editor of Fast Company, I think it was. Either Fast Company or Wired Magazine. And it was called Your 1,000 True Fans or Greatest Fans or something. You can Google it. It'll come up because it's kind of become a cult favorite, right? Yeah. And basically, He said that idea, Tim Ferriss said that idea turned his world around because he started some kind of a nutritional business or something. Then he decided to write the 4-hour work week and nobody would buy it, right? And when he read that article, he was saying, this isn't going to work. And the article said, listen, all you need is your 1,000 greatest fans. When you find your 1,000 greatest fans, then speak to them. You're speaking to them because what happens is the people that resonate with you, they're going to tell their friends, and their friends are going to tell their friends because those people are like-minded, right? And once you get that first 1,000, it will take on a life of its own. And that's all you want to focus on. Don't worry about the periphery, the other people. It doesn't matter what they're thinking. You're never going to please all the people, ever. So don't even try, right? So that really resonated with me too. And it was like, who cares? Let me just put it up. If nobody ever buys the book, it doesn't matter to me. The purpose of it is for me to use it as marketing. That's how I started. And when people started telling me it helped them, that's when it really gave me my purpose for wanting to get it out there more. And the rest is history, as you say.
I think this is such a valuable advice for anyone who is in that position. And it's more like, because people, when they are in that position, when they are in that situation, they are frozen sometimes. They don't want to do anything. They feel what they feel. And that leads for them to actually not only not take action, but to do negative things and to procrastinate and actually waste so much time. And once you actually work on your psyche and you get to that action and you start thinking, making that 20 items list of what is in me, what skill do I have that I could actually go and teach or do or whatever, or share with the world and get those 1,000 raving fans. This is an amazing idea. Tell me something. The next phase, obviously, after writing those things, after, you know, getting that idea, after generating it, it's no secret that it requires work. It requires learning. And I can tell about myself, I was in the middle of the pandemic, couldn't move, couldn't fly back, you know, to the States anymore. I didn't have my old position as a CEO anymore. And, you know, what can you do? So I was open to learn about podcasting. I was open to learn about online courses, all kind of stuff that I've never knew. But it wasn't easy, meaning it took months and months and months to understand it, to learn it, and to get to, you know, to get it done. What suggestion would you give to a person, or comfort would you give to a person about the fact that those things are not, you know, it's not a quick fix? You said that in the beginning. What would be the comforting suggestion of how they should approach that issue?
Okay, good question. First, let me say a couple of things. Inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage, right? So if you're in action, you're allowing feedback, right? You're learning as you're going, right? Okay, that thing that I said didn't work. Maybe if I say it this way, and all of a sudden you start getting more positive feedback by saying it in a different way. It's all a learning process. You have to remind yourself of that, right? Nobody knows everything about everything, right? Everybody's got their own special set of skills, okay? Like you said, you had to learn about podcasting. You had to learn about putting your course together. You know, these are things that don't just come to you instantaneously. You have to make mistakes and keep moving forward until you get it down and read about it and learn about it. And then things start coming together, right? So allow yourself that opportunity. I can't emphasize enough that, you know, you have to exercise your faith and courage muscles. Okay. If you don't do that, they're going to be weak and flabby. And how do you do that? By getting into action and make it, change your daily habits, okay? Create a schedule for yourself that allows you to learn on a daily basis. If you just took 1 hour a day to study in the field that you're interested in, within 5 years, you will be an expert. You will be one of the top experts out there, okay? People don't realize that. It's incremental, and it is something that the vast majority of people are not willing to do. Why? Because it takes effort to think. The hardest work there is out there is thinking. And the next hardest is thinking and taking action, okay? So you got to do it. You got to put yourself in motion to make that happen. But if you do, magical things start happening, okay? Miraculous things, seemingly miraculous things. All you're doing really is putting those universal laws in action. And that's the beauty of it.
You know what? It's so true. But I would, divide it to two types of people on that when it comes to those things. You have that person, and both are taking action and both are thinking positively and doing the right thing. The first one is actually the guy that, or the girl, the woman who took the time to write those 20 things, to get those raving fans, to take action, to change their lives, to find, and all of a sudden they have this online or whatever business that they have made of out of their experience. And they are successful and they are incredible. And some people made not only $1 million businesses, but $1 billion businesses. You have those people. So let's put those aside. I'm not talking about the $1 billion people, not even the $1 million business people, which is a fairly, humble business, but it's a great income to live out of. Obviously, nobody can argue with that, especially with a business that doesn't have very little expenses. You know, those type of businesses have very little expenses. So I'm not talking about those, but let's go back for a second to the person who did those things is having some great income, but it's definitely not an income to live on. And he wants to get back into the swing. He has that during the pandemic. He did that. He managed to do that. And now he has an interview. Again, let's say a 55-year-old person, okay? And he's going into an interview we finally got with a company that is pretty significant and they want to talk to him. But he hears from the people around, in the hallway or the people around in the company that he's getting into or the people who got him the connections. And I'm saying he, it's also she, it's just a, figure of speech.
Right, yeah, we get it.
And they tell him that there are 20 other candidates who are younger, hotter, beautiful, full head of hair, less white hair, great shape, good looking, Harvard graduates, all the great things. And all of a sudden this person comes in and has to, even though he has a beautiful career, a lot more experience, and they have to getting challenged from it. And they're coming into an interview and they're being asked all these questions. What would you suggest for that type of a person to come and say, what attitude should he or she have in order to give them a better chance to get that position and get back into the swing?
Okay. Well, here's what I would say about that. First of all, you got to start seeing and looking at yourself as somebody that does come with a lot of experience. And what they're starting to find now is actually they're much further ahead in many circumstances by hiring that person who's had the experience because they have more resilience, right? But let's just back off to your original question there. What can they do to differentiate themselves, right? I would say before you went to that interview, you should research as much as you can about that company. Then sit down with your list that I talked about, because that list, by the way, can be used for anything. And every time you sit down to think about a creative brainstorming session, you are exercising your creative thinking muscles, and it becomes stronger and stronger every time you do it. If you made it a habit to do it once a week, you would have an amazing amount of great ideas within 6 months or a year. Think about it for a year. and take a few weeks off for a vacation, right? You would have a ton of great ideas, right? But let's say you sat down, okay, you researched the company. What can I do to create value for that company? That's what you want to put at the top of your list. What are 20 ideas I could have that would create value for such and such a company with my talents? And then start brainstorming. Then pick your top five or six, right? When you go into that interview, instead of saying, you know, how much vacation time do I get? And, you know, what kind of, you know, medical insurance comes with it? And do you have a 401k or whatever it is, retirement program I can invest in? You say, you ask them a lot of questions about the company. You know, what's your ideal candidate look like? You know, what are some of the attributes that you look for in a candidate? And then as you go through it, you have a reference point as they're telling you the answers to these questions. Then you can tell them at the appropriate time, I came up with 5, 6, 8, whatever it is, ideas that I can add value to your company, right? Then you go through them. Then you could say, I have a proposal to make to you. Well, first of all, you want to, they say, well, thank you for sharing those with you. Say, I also would like to make a proposal to you. If you hire me, I will do my best to implement those ideas which resonate with you, and give me a 90-day trial, okay? And if you aren't convinced that I'm the right candidate, then say, hey, we gave you a shot, and you know those ideas didn't pan out, or that you didn't pan out, or whatever the case may be, right? But if I do and it does, then we can talk about how we'd like to move forward with it, even with the understanding that we have today, right? And it's pretty hard for somebody of, if you're coming up with good ideas and you give them a no risk proposal like that, pretty hard for them to say no, because you just come to the table with some great ideas, and don't worry, they're going to steal them from you or whatever. Hey, if they do and they don't hire you, hey, wish them all the best, right? You just put some good karma out there for yourself, whatever, right? But I wouldn't worry about that, because believe me, the fact that you're just doing what I just told you, it's going to differentiate yourself from, I guarantee you, I'd be willing to bet the farm that nobody's really coming to the table like you just came with. And you can emphasize the fact that, hey, I have a lot of experience, and because they gave you a list of things of the ideal candidate that they're looking for, right? That fit into those categories, here's what I did, go through your list, right? So now you're kind of, okay, they do have some of those. They are offering something nobody else has. They did have some good ideas. All right, and this is basically a no-risk proposal. Hey, you know what? You know, they may not say right there, all right, you're hired. They might though, right? But if they don't, they'll say, you know, let us think about that. That's very interesting. Right.
You know, these are beautiful ideas. I want to shift gears a little bit. In your book, you also put emphasis on health, on eating healthy, having a healthy life, exercising, all those things. Can you share with us a little bit some of that stuff?
Sure. You have to remember something. We're holistic beings, okay? And it all is intertwined, okay? So let's just say you're super smart, super creative, but you don't take very good care of yourself because you like to eat junk food and you don't get enough rest and you're not crazy about exercising. But you have to remember something, and it goes back to the beginning of this interview that we were doing, is everything is energy, right? So you need to have a lot of energy if you're going to be doing all these things that you want to get accomplished, right? And you want to put forth energy when you're talking to the people that you're trying to convince of your ideas, of your capabilities, of the things that you're trying to accomplish, right? Let me ask you a question. On a scale of 1 to 10, would you rather be listening to somebody who's given a talk at a level 5 or 6 or an 8 or 9?
8 or 9, of course.
Right. If somebody's talking to you about an idea that they have, a proposal that they're giving you, or something that they're trying to sell you on or whatever, would you, it's the same question. You want to deal with somebody who's
hired.
At a 5 or 6?
Yeah,
obviously, right? So the question is, what are you doing to make sure you're at those levels when you need it, right? You want to be at that level pretty much as long as you can throughout the day, right? You never know when the phone's going to ring and it's going to be a prospective client or a prospective employer or somebody you want to partner up with or whatever. You want to be able to talk to them in a very, very cogent, energetic manner, because confidence and enthusiasm most influences people. Okay? It's true. You know that, being a CEO of a company.
100%. 100%. It's obvious that if you go to lunch in the middle of the day and you're going to take a big pita bread, you know, and you're going to put hummus into it, and you're going to put a lot of red meat into it, and you're going to eat the whole thing, and you're going to drink a lot of sugar, and you go back into the office, you don't want to sit in a boardroom within an hour with anyone, because you're going to really...
Your head's going to be hitting the table pretty soon.
Exactly. Your eyes are going to shut down or something. So right. You know what to do. But regardless of that, exactly, like you said, we're holistic beings. You got to take care of your body. You got to read. You got to learn about nutrition. You got to learn about what to eat and about exercise and about what's good for you and about being focused on the right thing, you know, on the right thing. You want to have some fun with food? Save it for the weekend. You know, there's time for everything, but it's definitely so important. These are things that most people don't talk about, and they could ruin your day. They simply ruin your day. So this is very, very important. And I know that you talk about it in the book so much, and you give suggestions in which book to read, etc.
There's a lot of good stuff out there. My favorite book on that subject is by Dr. Joel Fuhrman, who wrote the book Eat to Live. Okay, and he was an Olympic skater in the early 70s who became a physician. And people were coming to him with heart disease, getting ready to, you know, they're on their last legs, some of them, and they had to go in for open heart surgery. And he said, before you do that, let's give it a little test here and put you on a little trial. Okay, I want you to stop eating all the, you know, the meat and everything. I want to put you on a plant-based diet. I want you to start exercising, walking around the block. I know you're having a hard time right now, but I just want you to walk around the block. And then try to increase it as you're feeling better and start getting proper rest and start drinking a lot of water and fresh juices. And let's visit you in the next couple of weeks. And then you see him 2 weeks later. Some of these people were rescued from the grave, right? So he decided to make it his life's purpose to find out why this was having such an incredible effect. And he does a masterful job on teaching people, you know, how to start turning their lives around. And the interesting thing about it, he says, look, if you do it 90% of the time, you'll be fine. If 10% of the time, if you want to eat some junk food, pizza, ice cream, pie, whatever it is your favorite indulgences are, that's okay. As long as 90% of the time you're diligent about eating the right foods, right? And he's not saying don't eat any meat. He's not saying that you can eat meat. Just don't eat so much of, don't make it out of proportion where it's not healthy, right? So, and here's the interesting thing. When somebody handed me that book, I said, well, this is like a diet book. I'm not heavy. I'm fine. I actually am pretty healthy. And they go, no, it's more than that. It's about scientific findings about nutrition that are pretty enlightening. And I was a little taken aback because the book's kind of thick, but really half the book is recipes, which are delicious, by the way. And the other half is just about his findings. And when I read that book, it was like all the lights went on for me. It was like, oh my gosh, I thought I was, you know, so healthy. And I said, okay, I'm gonna start implementing some of these ideas, which I did. I haven't eaten red meat for 30 years. Okay.
Wow.
And I only eat fish and I am primarily plant-based, right? But I thought, oh, I'm healthy. I'm great. Well, when I read that book, I realized I could be doing better. So what happened was I started on his 30-day trial period, which I did, right? And what happened was I was breathing better. I didn't have any sinus issues. I was sleeping like a rock straight through the night. And here's the crazy thing. I didn't really need to lose weight, but I lost 12 pounds without even trying when I got this.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like, and I'm feeling much more energy. And I'm thinking, you know what? This is my new regimen.
That's amazing. That only that is convincing to go and get that book. Brian, could you do me a favor? Do you have your book, Too Old to Hire, Too Young to Retire? Yeah. So those who are listening to the audio, if you want to see it, you can go to the YouTube, actually, and see it in front of you. That's the book. Thank you so much. And I'll tell you what, if you could tell everyone, where can they find the book? On Amazon? Just, you know, just write Too Old to Hire, Too Hire, Too Young to Retire?
Yeah, or just put my name in.
Brian Hennessy.
Yeah. Brian Hennessy. The books will come up. But Too Old to Hire, Too Young to Retire, if you go to Audible, it's on there. The book should come up. I also, at brianhennessy.com, there's the books that I refer to in there, some of them, not all of them, that you can click on, and there's a link that'll take you right to Amazon to get books. So anyway, it's my hope and desire for that book is it helps as many people as possible. And it's really for those people who are willing to help themselves, because the old saying, God helps those who help themselves, is true, okay? It's like I was talking about, you have to do your part. You can rely on God to do his, but don't worry about him. He's going to do his part. You need to do your part.
Exactly.
So, and that's the beauty of it. And, you know, it was, ended up when I, the first week I released it, it ended up being a number one bestseller on Amazon. And there was over 5,000 downloads the first few days.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, this is probably because of the title, which, quite frankly, I think it does resonate with a lot of people, right? Especially today.
Yes.
And I think as time goes on, it probably going to resonate with even more people, right?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah. You know what? You guys hearing it, and I hope you guys got these amazing nuggets and these amazing suggestions and insights that Brian has. And you can see the links above, below, wherever. You guys can go and buy the book. I suggest do that. I took the Audible one and listened to it, and it was phenomenal. It was great. Brian, thank you so much for being here. And what can I tell you? This was priceless. This was great. Thank you so much.
It's my great pleasure, Shai. Thanks for having me on. I'm happy to be on anytime you invite me. You know, it's always... a great thing when we get to talk, because we were on the same wavelengths here. So we
exactly.
resonate each other's energies.
100%. And you guys, I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I hope you guys get the book, because it's an amazing book. By the way, also, if you're not too old to hire and fit that title, I would say, even if you're a young person, you should get that book.
By the way, I had one last very important point for your listeners out there. The whole purpose of us here is to love and serve. Okay. If you're doing that, you are aligning yourself with the giver of all gifts. Okay. And if you make that your pole star, there's no way you're not going to be winning. Okay, you're going to get your fair share of successes. But to love and serve is what we're here for. If you remember that, people always, I say that in my commercial real estate classes, and people look at me sideways and go, what does that have to do with commercial real estate, right? And I said, it has everything to do with it. Because if that
Absolutely.
Is your, if that is where your heart is when you're out there, if people think you're trying to take advantage of them or only thinking about yourself, guess what? They're not trying to cooperate. That doesn't mean to say that everybody you go to is going to treat you like gold, right? Of course not. But your intent is such that it's going to make it much more effective if you're coming from that place in your heart. And so I will leave you with that, you know, just that it's, if you,
what an amazing,
about love and service, well, that's what it's all about.
What an amazing and an important message. And we should all live by it. Thank you, Brian. You guys take care. I'll see you in the next show. Hey guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.